You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Guidepost. Captain Cody Rubner here, joined by our president, leader, policy director, fashion designer, Tony Friedrich. And we're going to chop it up on menhaden today. Always a polarizing, contentious, and dynamic topic. One of the most important fish in the ocean. Might call them bunker where you're from. Might call them menhaden. Might call them pogies. Whatever the heck you call them. Critical to our East Coast estuaries, our East Coast fisheries, to the Gulf fisheries, and they are managed, and their management is its own unique slate of options and all sorts of craziness. So, Tony, you've worked on menhaden for, I don't even know, probably 25 years before I was an idea with my parents, but why don't you really briefly lead us into what the heck is going on? We got something that's popped up here that's very worthy of conversation that our advocates need to be aware of. Why don't you lead us into where we're going here?
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to do things in reverse, but then we're going to do a deep dive on how we got here. New stock assessment. We're recording this. This is actually the second time we've tried to record it because the first time our old software decided to dump all over us. So we're trying a new one out, and this is Thursday, and we're hopefully going to get this online for Friday. And the reason why we're rushing it so much is because the new stock assessment comes out on Friday, the peer-reviewed one. So I'm just going to hit it, get everyone's attention real quick. New stock assessment says that there needs to be a 55% reduction in the tack, and the tack is the total allowable catch. You could interchange that word with quota, but you know, for this, just keeping true to the terminology that's used, we will call it the tack, and that is again total allowable catch. So the tack needs to be reduced from 233,000 metric tons. A metric ton is 2,204 pounds. And you take that down to 108,000 metric tons. So quick math, that is 297 million pounds that need to be shaved off the tack. And to put it in perspective, the Chesapeake Bay, the cap for the Chesapeake Bay is 51,000 metric tons. So basically what we're looking at is half of the quota, the new quota, the new tack is going to be, unless something changes big time, is going to be caught inside the Chesapeake Bay. We're not going to stand for that. So again, to just kind of repeat everything, if y'all didn't swerve off the road or fall over in your chair or take a right turn on your Peloton and go out the family window in the dining room, the new stock assessment's out. The current tack is 233,000 metric tons. The new tack, to get the stock back in shape, is going to be 108,000 metric tons, and that is 297 million pounds a year of menhaden that will no longer be caught in the Atlantic. So now that we've got the shock value out of the podcast, Cody, should we tell people like how we got here, why this happened, or where do you think?
I think right away, everyone's reactions is going to go to the implications, what that means going forward. They want to know more, right? How is this going to play out and what are the implications? So we should probably hold that. And at least just really quickly, if you could walk us through how the heck do we get here? Because, I mean, we see it in person. We see it in meetings. We see it in state and federal meetings. We see it all up and down from, you know, Christ, Texas, all the way up to Maine, right? The menhaden is a discussion topic for managers and for our community. And there's a lot of different opinions that go around. And a lot of times the menhaden opinions end up blending into other conversations and kind of convoluting those conversations and making conversations around redfish and striped bass, et cetera, that much harder to conserve that individual species. So We know so many people care about this. They're obviously going to want to know where the heck this is all going. But the reality is people have been yelling for change with this reduction fishery for many years. We have not been against that by any means. Like I said, you've been involved in menhaden management for Lord knows how long. I think it was pre-Civil War, maybe when the dinosaurs were around.
We used to fire muskets at each other at the dock.
Yeah, exactly. That's how
blunderbusters
determine the catch.
Unhand ye menhaden, like you wicked knave.
And there's also menhaden have been in, I say the news, but let's just say the digital discourse
I'm with you, man. And like, I feel you, and I think what I want people to get out of this podcast is get up off your ass and let's save some menhaden, because you can hear it in my voice. This is the first shot we've had at doing something decent in probably 6 years. So look, let's just be who we are all the time, and that's transparent. So, you know, we're individually, a lot of us were working on this stuff before the Guides Association came around 6-7 years ago. And when the Guides Association was just getting its feet under it, we helped along with I don't know how many other groups, but we helped usher in the ecosystem-based management or ecological reference points, ERPs, whatever you want to call them. So we're either going to refer to it as ERPs or ecosystem-based fisheries management, EBFM, and we're big on acronyms here. But I want to be 100% transparent with everyone, because, you know, cannot pay attention, honestly, to what people say on social media. We try to encourage discourse on our social media channels. And unless somebody just gets stupid and starts saying names or, you know, wild accusations that aren't true, there also gets to a limit. Like if you're 20 replies in and the person's just obviously grew up under power lines, you know, we kind of give up on that too. We don't allow people to, you know, name call or anything like that. But other than that, you know, we'll talk through anything. I think a lot of people in the back of their mind have been wondering, like, man, you know, the Guides Association, they're getting after it with like stripers and jacks and albies and bonito and redfish and multiple coasts. Like, what the heck's going on? Like, why aren't they this, you know, force to be reckoned with on menhaden? And I'll tell you straight up, this is why. So we pushed the ecosystem, the EBFM, and we got that passed a little while back. And unfortunately, you know, in fisheries management, the science is ever evolving, and this EBFM is the first time it ever happened for fisheries, like period, hard stop, anywhere. That was pretty big deal. And everybody's pretty proud of it. And honestly, like if we could ever get it right, it'd be the way to move forward with fisheries management. And I'll take a look at the ecosystem holistically. And we're at the infancy stages. I mean, we're baby steps of that right now. And I'll get into that a little bit in a couple seconds. But so, you know, when the EBFMs happen, kind of, you know, it's like in between stock assessments for striped bass. Like we can get a yearly stock assessment. That can tell us a little bit, but that benchmark come every 5 years. Well, that's when you know. That's when they spend a lot of time on it. And you know, you got all right there in front of you, man. 1,000 pages of nightmare. So anyhow, you know, in between then and now, there's just been this narrative that's out there that's like, well, you know, you can't fix striped bass without menhaden. Without, you know, the whole problem's menhaden. And we heard the same thing in the Gulf when we were working on redfish. Like, oh, what's the point of lowering the creel limit? Like, all they eat is menhaden. Well, look, me and Cody got the microphones. You can't holler at us on social media or, you know, whatever you'd like to do. It's just not true. Every scrap of science, you know, in particular, I'm not saying the ospreys aren't dying because of lack of menhaden, because I have 20 osprey nests between me and a grocery store. I have 2 nests in my backyard, and I have a bald eagle's nest in my backyard. Like, they ain't sitting on their nests. I never seen anything like it. Every nest I drive by, there ain't an osprey on it. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that there's a problem with menhaden. But what I am denying is when you overfish a stock for 21 of the last 25 years, blaming it on a company is disingenuous. You lose a lot of credibility.
Yeah, I mean, a good point. Like, you can look at the catch data for menhaden. I don't have it in front of me this exact second, but it's like either 2X or 3X back when we went into a moratorium to save striped bass. So you have a window where you can show pretty consistent fishing pressure that's significantly higher than there is right now on menhaden, and striped bass boom back. And I really don't like to dull it down, but it's just magical how when you want more of something and you just like kill it way less, it comes back. I mean, everything away. Just throw it out. You want more of something? Don't kill it as much.
The people who aren't, this message isn't resonating with, they're like, what about the bycatch? Okay, well, let's talk bycatch for a second. The bycatcher's report just came out. Biggest one ever. LDWF did it down in the Gulf with West Bank. And I got to tell you, like, as far as reduction fisheries goes, this guy Francois runs West Bank. Guy's sharp as a tack and knows his stuff and is a pretty good partner down there. Doesn't run a huge operation, just a couple of boats. And they did the bycatch study on his vessels, and they estimated, somewhere around 30,000 adult redfish are killed from bycatch. And that's a lot, not nearly as much as we kill. But here's the humdinger. 10 times that are killed in the offshore shrimp industry. But you know what? Everybody's daddies, granddaddies, cousins, brothers, uncles, they run those offshore shrimp boats and they don't want to talk about it. So again, this is one of those things that's like, it's disingenuous to point a finger and say, you're all the problem. Well, okay, they did the isotope study in Louisiana, and menhaden only represent 10%, 11% of a weak fish diet. They only represent 11%, 10% of a king mackerel diet. They only represent 9% of a redfish diet. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot to eat in the Gulf, and as you go north in the latitudes, there's less to eat. So there probably is a little bit bigger of an impact on striped bass, but it's not their whole diet, and they're not starving. And I'd suggest everyone to look at the Schiano paper, S-C-H-I-A-N-O, that just came out of University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. And guess what? Striped bass weigh more than they did 5 years ago. Yeah, per inch, they weigh considerably more. Look at the paper. And the paper's conclusion was the population of menhaden have nothing whatsoever to do with the population of striped bass. And if striped bass was a virgin stock, not menhaden, meaning it's unfished, it would be 400% a target. 400%. So, it stinks when you run an association that's science-based and you have to be honest. And it's really easy when you don't run an association like that, and you can just point fingers and say, that's the boogeyman. That's who we're going to blame. Anyway, look, I ain't talking about it anymore. We didn't hitch our wagon to that narrative because it's not true. And we worked and worked and worked, and we're all in all the dadgum menhaden calls, and work with LDWF, and work with, ASMFC, work with everyone who's working on menhaden. Read all the papers. And we positioned ourselves, I guess, for this moment. And here it is. So this is what happened, Cody. It's kind of unbelievable. And you know what happened. So the two biggest factors in a stock assessment are natural mortality, which is M. And if y'all can't understand my accent, M is in Mary. And F is in Frank. And that's M is natural mortality. F is fishing mortality. And when you have those two numbers, you put it in, sprinkle some fairy dust, shake it up a couple minutes, preheat the oven to 350, and then you get your stock assessment, all right? One of the most important factors in all of this is natural mortality, and it can change everything. So look, this paper came out a little bit ago by Jerry Ault, who's a pretty dadgum esteemed scientist down in Florida, okay? And Cody, is it okay if I read the abstract? And it's going to be a lot of garbledygook, but some of it, 10% of it's going to sink in, and we're going to talk about the rest. So if y'all want to read this, this is the name of the paper.
We'll put it live in the blog. Yeah, I mean, when we do it online, it'll all be linked in when we launch this thing.
It's just investigation of menhaden mortality rates, right?
We actually have a new menhaden initiatives page in the works in the website that'll be live here soon. So people can find it there as well.
So there was a tag effort in the late 60s and early 70s, and it put these mark recovery, they're called ferromagnetic tags. It's a magnetic tag, okay? So and they put these huge magnets on the conveyor belts at the processing facilities, and as the menhaden pogie, whatever you want to call it, just call it a pogie. When the pogie goes through, the magnet goes dink and collects the tag. So this paper found that there were four significant errors with the tagging results. Tag numbers recovered from primary magnets were underreported. 28% of the tags found by secondary magnets were not included. Plant magnet tag recovery efficiency was overstated. And fishing effort was underreported by an annual average of 33%. Shocker, right? Shocker. Now, they use this data to generate the natural mortality number, okay? And then on top of that bad data that they used for natural mortality, they also applied, look, man, all this stuff is voodoo to me, but somehow in that natural mortality, you take into account the adult, the maximum age of the fish, and for menhaden, it's going to be 10 to 12 years old. You apply that number, and again, you divide it by 3, multiply that by 42.8, throw in pi, and swing a dead cat over your head. And essentially, what this all comes down to is the natural mortality estimate was 53% lower, and it's such an influential rate that they have to incorporate this new natural mortality, and it's going to have a massive impact on the stock status, the harvest rates, the coastwide quotas, everything. But here's the kicker. Cody and I have been chewing this around for a little bit. You can talk about the mark recapture stuff. You can talk about anything you want. But I have heard that the number that the EBFM modelers put in was 2 instead of 10 to 12. And the other thing that strikes me as odd, so you got to really question that, right? If your professional job is to create mathematical models for stock assessments, red flag should have gone up right there. Next thing is this. Well, I'm not going to get into the next thing. Okay, let me put it to you this way. They should have known better to put that 2 in instead of 10 or 12. That's number one. Number two, looking back and being part of that EBFM process for menhaden, it sure does make you wonder. When you think of all the possible outcomes that could have happened between shifting from single stock model to multi-species EBFM, well, isn't that weird that when if y'all haven't been following this for a while, when the EBF came out, ecosystem-based fisheries management came out, they said, holy mackerel, look, we did it, and we're not going to change the quota at all. And you're like, well, shit, you worked on that for 10 years, you're including all these different species, striper, spiny dogfish, weakfish, bluefish, you're including all these species, and you're telling me that didn't change? Didn't change anything? No, it didn't change anything. So it kind of makes me wonder, just, you know, to myself at night, makes me wonder how something like that happens, how those two things happen, Cody. You wonder that yourself?
Well, so one of the funny things about it, like you just said, is that they add all these different details in about the importance and dynamics related to all of these other species. And within the confines and under the umbrella ASMFC, all of those species are like struggling, overfished, experiencing overfishing and failing. So the fact that they brought in, they're like, here's menhaden, and we actually need to consider their importance to all these other fisheries. And then you bring in the importance of fisheries that are literally struggling. And they said, oh, based on their importance to all these other struggling tangential fisheries, nothing needs to be changed. So that alone, and also please everyone to understand, ASMFC manages just about every single one of those and is failing to do so. But yeah, I mean, the short of it for anyone who we lost in the, you know, the abstract from the document, short of it is fisheries science is a best science-driven estimation to try to calculate how many fish are under the water. It ain't like bears or wolves or other animals where we have a good perspective on, they live under the water. So these calculations and the best available science and the best available procedures always have our supports. And we know that science is ever evolving as it continues to try to, we continue to try to prove hypotheses and get better ways to do so. But the simple of it here is we've been continually underestimating for years how many menhaden actually die and how many menhaden are actually out there. And it has significant implications for management of that fishery and for the other fisheries that rely on this fishery as a forage fish.
Yeah, and for the love of God, if you think this is your aha moment and this is why we don't have any striped bass, like, we're going to drown you out.
I mean, just think of a striped bass. I mean, you can literally catch one of the best parts of a striped bass from an angler's perspective, especially if you're a light tackle and fly guy or whatever. You can catch them so many different ways. You can catch them on jigs in 50 feet of water. You can catch them on top water. You can catch them
on... I think my nephew caught one on a hot dog.
Yeah,
off my parents' pier.
You
can
use a chicken wing off the pier. You can catch them on crab flies as they're going through sand. You can catch them eat. They eat sandhills. They eat eels. They eat alewives. They eat river herring. They eat everything under the sun.
You just brought that up. Let's clear up one thing with stripers. People are like, well, that's why they're not spawning good. Well, guess what? That ain't true. Because guess it's actually a different species. Guess what they follow up? Bluebacks, alewives, herring. When the herring show up in the creeks, what's left of them, you bet your butt, stripers one day behind them. Any menhaden in the bay that time of year when it's that cold in the spring? Nothing. Nothing really. And, you know, what's clogging the rivers? Shad, hickory, and American, and herring. Some rivers still have good herring runs. And that's what stripers want to eat. I used to watch them knock those things 10 feet into the air on the flats, bluebacks. That thing would splat when it hit the water, and that striper would mosey over like it didn't have a care in the world. Just like, I don't know, man, like me when I'm at an ice cream store, just belly up to the counter and order the most gigantic, most expensive sundae on the thing. Like they swim over and they sip that 12-inch herring like it was a dadgum dry fly. Like a Hendrickson, just shoop and gone. They ain't eating menhaden. So if you're worried about striper spawning, not having enough fat, not having enough food, go advocate for herring like we do. Anyway, so back to this menhaden mess. So, you know, Cody, it just strikes me as odd that you have, you know, this big thing, ecosystem-based fisheries management, that was getting pushed like there was no tomorrow. And I'm not saying this happened, but I'm saying it could have happened. Now, imagine these folks are doing this stuff years ago, and they sit down and they're like, and then they do it the right way, and they're like, holy moly, look at the reduction that's going to take. Man, if we monkey with this one number, they won't take a reduction, but this ecosystem-based fisheries management, we're going to get that feather in our hat as a scientist. Yeah, man. That's cool. That's something pretty cool to put on my resume. Now, I'm not saying it happened, but I think I have presented a case where if you were a logical person, that you should probably ask yourself that question. But, you know, I guess we're going to have to move on from that topic. But if someone could explain to me how, if you work on a model for 10 years, that you wouldn't know by jiggering around with them, natural mortality, that you could change a lot of outcomes, like, oh, holy smokes, we don't have to take a reduction. Yeah, unanimous vote. Uh-huh. Yeah, if they'd had to take a 50% reduction back then, I don't think we'd be dealing with ecosystem management at all. That's just me. That's just a lot of experience. Oh, and I don't know, probably 3 stock assessment scientists I've talked with in other areas of the country on how the hell did this happen. But we'll go on with the discussion. So here's the deal. Y'all are going to be listening to this and it's Friday. I'm going off the non-peer-reviewed stock assessment. It's got big letters on it, non-peer-reviewed. And according to that sucker, we are looking at a reduction that I said, 200, you know, almost 300 million pound reduction. And I don't think that's going to change very much. I hope it doesn't change very much. But we'll follow up with a blog and, you know, do all of our stuff when we can review this peer-reviewed stock assessment. So, unfortunately, this species is managed at ASMFC. Let's talk about how we make a change for once. For once, here's how we make a change. We point out the science. We do not say that this will save striped bass or this will save redfish or this will save insert whatever species. You say this, you guys screwed up. You screwed up on a cosmic scale. You screwed up. This ain't a 5, 10% error. This is a 300 million pound a year error, which every menhaden ain't a pound that they're catching. So, I mean, holy smokes, what is that? 500 million fish a year? This is a big one. So, Cody, if you had to guess with your experience with our lovely friends on all these management boards at ASMFC, let me ask you two questions. One, what would a normal person think a manager would say when they saw this? Part one. Part two, what do you think somebody on the menhaden management board who has a vote is going to say when they see this?
Well, the former is definitely the gut reaction should be, whoa, stop right now, right? It should just be stop. Whoa, what did we miss? How could this be so extreme? It's not like it's a, hey, Tony, I think we missed by like 2% here. You know, like, all right, well, you ran all those numbers out. That's a couple. They're little fish. That's a couple thousand fish somewhere along the way over the last decade. Ain't a big deal. When you see the grand scale, I mean, it should be shocking and stop people in their tracks right away. The latter question is what scares me, because when it comes to ASMFC, you say, what should a manager do or what we think they're going to do? I mean, the gut reaction is when it comes anything related to reductions of anything, there's always going to be pushback, but it's going to be really interesting with regards to menhaden because, listen, when it comes to community, I don't think there's too many pro menhaden reduction fishery advocates out there running around. I mean, we got surf, we got fly, we got catch and release, we got harvest, we got left, right, center, everywhere in between, every color, every creed, every religion. Unless you work for the menhaden reduction industry or have some financial interest or direct connection to that industry, no one around here is out here super excited that that exists. So I think from the community perspective, there should be a ground wave. And it's going to be really interesting to see how some of these managers, especially some of these managers that, you know, certain states involved with, let's put it within the realm of striped bass, bring up menhaden all the time. Now menhaden's on the table. I know these are not the same exact boards, but let's see what actually happens when it comes down to real discussion about tangible, significant change that could happen here to this mega industry. I think there's going to be a land grab for where certain allocations go. I think there's going to be all sorts of localized politics that play into this thing. But when you say, what do I think's going to happen? The scariest part is I'm starting to get with ASMFC a little bit of like, who effing knows? And let's find out next week on the new episode of ASMFC Shits Down Our Oceans. But, you know, the gut reaction, the honest gut reaction should be, how the heck did we get here and how do we fix this right away?
Okay, guess what? What I am hearing now is, oh my gosh, we can't take that big of a reduction. I swear to you.
Are you sure? Are you sure they're reacting like that?
So here, let's go through everything that I've heard. I've heard, oh no, we can't take that level of reduction. Oh no, what about my state? Oh, you know, we have to phase this in over time. Well, I think y'all will appreciate our position is my happy ass. You have to.
The phase it in is just disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Imagine you came, your significant other brought you to the table and said, listen, I just realized something. We've had a credit card that has just been growing through the roof every month. And I don't know how we've been unaware of it, but I just checked and we got $25,000 of debt on this card and we didn't even know this card existed. If your significant other responded with, oh, that's crazy. Well, let's just slowly work on paying that back. I mean, the gut reaction should be, how did we get this far ecologically in debt? And immediately how the heck are we going to fix this? And what are we going to start chopping to try to chop down to that debt? Everyone's very focused on debt nowadays at a state and federal level. Okay, well, we have an ecological debt of too many fish that we have harvested that, and I say we humans, but in reality, we have allowed a massive industry to harvest of very minimal value to our communities. Let's also say that this ain't the bait communities. This ain't going to be for the lobstermen and the crab pots. I mean, this is over harvest in the name of cat food and whatever else this crap gets converted into.
Cody, let's, you know, if anyone listened to the last Menhaden hearing at the last ASMFC meeting, what you heard, so, you know, the Osprey science, people are deeply concerned, and it really depends, like, you know, just like everything else, I'm trying to teach y'all, like, all this stuff is nuanced. So you can't sit there and say, hey, an Osprey that's, you know, all the Ospreys in the bay are dead, all their chicks are dead. You go into the far northern reaches of the bay, way the hell, 100 miles north of me, and they're eating catfish and carp and freaking smallmouth bass. Ain't no menhaden up there. And the Osprey, it's real easy to see what they're eating, because all you got to do is poke your head in their dadgum nest. That's right. The bones are right there. You have to cut them open and do a stomach content thing. So look, last Menhaden meeting, there are certain areas of the bay, particularly where I live, where there ain't a single Osprey chick that's alive, because there ain't no menhaden. None. And that's what they eat. Ain't no smallmouth bass here or carp or anything except way back up in the creeks. But look, we're ground zero for this mess. So you'd think like, oh, well, they're going to have this big talk about menhaden and they're going to say that, you know, we really got to have more menhaden for in the water, you know, so the ecosystem's a little bit healthier. Well, you know, no surprise to me, Maryland gets on and what do they say?
We need time and spatial closures so our pound netters have menhaden to kill. I swear to God, go on YouTube, look it up. It's there. YouTube ASMFC Menhaden Management Board, and you can hear it for yourself. You can hear it for yourself. Don't let Omega put the nets in the water for a couple weeks. Let some menhaden get by so our pound netters can have at them. And at that point, I think about 40 minutes into that call, I threw my hands up in the air and I said, there is no hope. God, I hope this stock assessment says something that we can work with. Ask and ye shall receive. And here we are. And I'm telling y'all, there is no wiggle room. There is no compromise. I have not going on the non-peer-reviewed stock assessment, understanding we're getting the peer-reviewed today. The numbers I said are accurate. They may change a little. I don't know. They may change a little. However, here's our feeling on it. Everybody sitting down? You better take every single percentage. Right now, it's 55%. Every single 297 million pounds, you better take off that quota. And here's the deal. There's going to have to be a massive adjustment to the bay cap. Massive. Can't stand anymore. That's number one. Number two, I would much rather see a menhaden caught and used for bait, whether it's a crab pot, a lobster pot, or, you know, somebody who wants to throw bait for whatever. You know, menhaden can be used for just about anything. So when you look at it and you say, well, how the heck are we going to get to 55% if people still need bait and da, da 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 da. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to take 70% from Omega. Maybe you need to reallocate their massive quota up and down the coast. So the lobster guys have bait. So the crab guys have bait. But you have to maintain that 55% reduction. I would much rather see, you know, a local guy putting pogies into a bushel basket and selling them to his friend who's a lobsterman or a crabber, or ended up in a local tackle shop for fresh bait for a fisherman than I would for pelletized for pig feed. It's a much better use of the resource. So, like, there's your solution, ASMFC, Menhaden Management Board. You know, it's not to phase in, but this brings up other complications. I see Cody holding his hand up. I don't think he's picking his nose. His finger went up.
Well, I might have been at the same time, but no, yeah. You know, what I was going to jump in is my brain is just, while you were talking all that, was thinking on the community side. To every single knucklehead who has brought Menhaden and just refused to hop off the Menhaden train within the confines of management of other species, I hope when this hits the ground that you are the local Paul Revere of this campaign, and you hop on your horse and tell every neighbor within 50 miles that they should speak up and submit comments and be a part of this. Because if this campaign goes quiet, going forward, every single person who references Menhaden forever, always, will just need a dunce cap. Because if you actually have real tangible change to change it and you don't speak up, you're an embarrassment because you've just been lying and looking for little scapegoats that you actually don't really care about within the confines of other species. If you care about it, like I said, every political spectrum, every state, every creed, color, orientation, whatever, if you care about this, all of our natural resources being based upon an incredible forage fish and how this forage fish is managed, you better be loud and proud with aggressively demanding that this commission actually hold to the numbers that they should have been holding to, that they've been doing their mathematics wrong this entire time. And it has serious implications spanning all the way down, you know, state versus federal, as far as waters and down to the Gulf too. I mean, if Omega gets the boot here on these waters to a significant catch, where are they going to be looking next, right?
Well,
is there
a certain area
that they're already decimating that they still don't have a quota in? If you've made it this far and you don't know that the Gulf does not have a quota in Louisiana and they could kill whatever they want, I mean, these boats are just going to kill in Virginia waters until they can. And then when they get tapped out off of Virginia because their quota has now been axed by whatever it finally ends up being axed by, all right, well, pack them up, boys. Let's head down around Florida. We're going to go get some sun and we're just going to go kill as much as we can. So Louisiana advocates need to care about this. And that alarm needs to be, that flag needs to be raised in Louisiana that this is a serious threat going towards them as well. This is one of the opportunities for massive change against a massive industry. To everyone who's been yelling on Facebook for the last 5 years, that's not where massive industry changes. They don't give a shit what you say on Facebook. They have massive political and financial ties. And now there is serious science coming from a legitimate source that you have as a foundation to make change to that industry. This is the opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, so think about that. Think about a 300 million pound reduction in TAC, and Louisiana doesn't have a TAC, and Omega has a processing plant and other boats already there, or ocean harvesters, whatever they call themselves these days. You know, they have the infrastructure. And you don't have a TAC down there. And, you know, I just, if I was, I don't know the complexities of their business, but I'd sure as heck be thinking like, hey, you know what? Saddle up 3 boats. You're living in the Gulf now during that season, and we're going to get our Menhaden one way or the other. So it's a huge, I mean, this is a huge deal for the Gulf too. And we don't know how it's all going to pan out. But, this, you know, that's not for y'all to worry about. It's for us to worry about. And we'll handle it. But this just goes to show you when you start, you know, I'm giving everyone advice. And some of you need it and some of you don't. That's the funny thing about advice. Well, here it is. For once, you got a chance. We got a real chance. I'm making a real difference. And for the love of Pete, you know, I was listening. Listen, I like my stories. We were listening to the final hearing on striped bass in Massachusetts the other night. And if y'all had never been in those meetings, they have a presentation and then they have a question period and then they have a comment period. And apparently the definition of question isn't the same
for people, because question to some people means I'm going to walk up to the mic and tell you my life story for the next 20 minutes, and I'm going to talk about stuff that isn't on the document, and I need everyone to listen to me because I'm smarter than everybody in the room. And we had one guy talk about everything from dairy farms, his cousin owned a dairy farm, to Jerry Seinfeld, to you're all idiots because it's nitrogen and the stripers are spawning here and they don't migrate. And that, and the love him to death, man, a representative of Mass DMF, only state jurisdictional representative, because this happened in every meeting. Only single state representative that paused the guy and said, for the love of God, could you, these are not questions. And when you make a comment, could you actually comment about something that's on the document? And we were laughing. I was hee-hawing. I'm going to send him a FTD thank you bouquet, because we're all listening to these idiots babble on incessantly. So that's my little story to tell you to not be one of those idiots that babbles on incessantly. And you sit there with your forehead on the desk listening to him, and you're like, you know, you're praying for lightning from the heavens to hit that microphone just to get him to shut up. Be a good advocate. This is science. This is real science. This is a big stock assessment. It's going to be peer reviewed. There's a paper that corroborates all this that is peer reviewed. The maths. All you have to say is we need more menhaden in the water, and we're asking you to follow the science. We need a 55% reduction. So look, this is how the menhaden board works. They can do TAC reductions on the spot. In order to do a reallocation of the TAC, like we're going to take more from you and less from the others, in order to do that, they have to initiate an addendum. In order to initiate an addendum and get this all done by 2026, by January 1, 20, this all got to be done midnight, December 31st. They're going to have emergency meetings. We're going to have to tell them that they have to initiate an addendum. This is all hands on deck, and the message is simple. Somehow, along the way, y'all messed up. You messed up on a cosmic scale. You messed up on the equivalent of, if I'm a UPS driver, I dropped 55% of my packages off at the wrong house. My UPS driver's awesome. I know him by name. I take his kids fishing at the ponds in the neighborhood. I love the guy. He ain't never missed nothing. Not once. Well, these are learned people of science, and they missed 55% of the deliveries. And if they worked for UPS, they'd be fired right now. And there is a little bit of a smoking gun where this may have been intentional, may have been allegedly. Just won't throw those two words in there so our attorney doesn't have a heart attack. So, allegedly. So, anyhow, stay on target. Remember that thing in Star Wars? Going to shoot the Death Star? Stay on target. Guys been blown up everywhere. That's the gif I'm going to send each one of you. Nobody needs to hear the Gettysburg Address. Nobody needs to hear your life story. Nobody here needs to hear the perils of anything that you want to attach to this issue. What people need to hear is, I read the paper. I read the stock assessment. This is utterly out of control. We need a 55% reduction. If it's too much for the bait industry, take it from Omega, because they have been destroying us for a generation. And you know what? I hope you made a lot of extra money with your 300 million extra pounds, and I hope you socked a little bit of it away. But you're going to have to figure something else out, because that 51,000 metric ton bait cap, that don't work anymore. Nope. And just to be super clear before all the other commercial guys blow a gasket, because your listening skills are on par with a 3-month-old beagle, we want to give you part of the quota. That is going to be our position, part of the tack that's left over. Transfer it from Omega. We'll put you out of business. Quit your crying. We never tried to put you out of business on anything, you big crybabies. We're trying to make it fair. We're trying to put bait in your nets to sell to other fishermen. So I don't want to hear it from anybody. Stay on target.
Don't be a ninny. Don't care about your life story. We need one voice that stands up and says, this is science. Two papers, one stock assessment, one scientific paper, both peer-reviewed, ironclad. You guys messed up. You guys screwed us, and it ends today. We're not asking for a payback. I'm not telling you to give me the 3.5 billion Menhaden that you took and you shouldn't have taken. I'm just saying in 2026, this is what life is going to look like. Stay on target.
Well, unless you have any closing thoughts.
Don't be a ninny.
Don't be a ninny. Unless you have any other closing thoughts. This is a monster break of news, and this is going to be something that everyone needs to be tuned into up and down the East Coast and the Gulf. We are going to do our best to be a resource for y'all, to give you the resources and educational, whatever it is, digital resources and whatever you guys need to participate in this process, to make sure that your state representative on this board represents our interest. And when I say the angling community, and that angling community applies to rec and comm in this sense. This is a very different conversation that we're about to start than many people are used to. And this is small scale commercial. This is guys who sell fish, you know, to the fish shop. This is guys who catch and release. And this is people who just birdwatch and like to see ospreys and every other animal under the sun. This is people who want to see a healthy and dynamic, localized ecosystem flourish with more menhaden in the water to where they should be, per the science and per managers' baselines that were miscalculated. And now that we know that these have been miscalculated, everyone needs to be on the same page here. I think Tony made several different movie references all in his closing statement. But the reality is here, we all need to stay on target. And the push is the push, which is you guys know that you messed up. You guys know there should be more fish in the water. And, Tony, in honesty, I just had a little bit of a flashback to one of the meetings down here for Captain's for Clean Water campaign where I attended, where basically the thesis was if I'm wrong, and if this data is wrong, and it wasn't as much of a reduction needed, a massive mega industry, their profits are just delayed by a year or two. That's the worst threat if we go the path we want to go.
Hey, Cody, in the last podcast, we asked this question. What if they ever made a 300 million pound mistake in our favor?
Never.
Right.
Never. Never.
Right. That's a little odd.
If we're wrong, massive industry just has a little bit off the top line for a couple of years. But if they're wrong, it's just the total wipeout of a coastwide, massively, massively foundational resource to our marine ecosystems. I appreciate everyone who tuned in on a Friday. Go enjoy your weekend.
Hey,
hopefully,
Cody,
you're getting in some of the last couple fishing days.
Yeah, and for our listeners, let us know if you notice a difference in the sound quality of this. We're trying a new software. We had 3 podcasts in a row go down the tubes with the old software. And, you know, if we don't get our podcasts out fast, they're kind of irrelevant. So we just switched to this new product, and I think it brings a lot more to the table. There's some cool stuff that we could do. We might even do every once in a while live, you know, videos on this and include like a presentation or actually show you all the charts and everything. So we're really excited about this, even though we're really frustrated with the old product. So if you hear a difference, let us know. We want to bring the best thing that we can to y'all, and appreciate you listening. And man, so Cody, what did we learn? We're going to leave them with, don't be a ninny, stay on target, and do not accept anything but a reduction. I mean, raise heaven and hell. Enough is enough is enough.